Welcome to Timeless Truth with Pastor Jim Thomas, a resource of the Village Chapel in Nashville, Tennessee. This season, we're giving our attention to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We invite you to read ahead in the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5 through 7. We've also introduced a new schedule, releasing new episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Now may the Lord continue to bless and keep you this week. Here's Pastor Jim.
Reading through the Beatitudes one more time this morning. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So today we take a look and just zero in a little bit on the seventh beatitude. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. I want to remind you how each of these beatitudes are three-part statements. The ascription of blessedness is the first part. Jesus using that word makarios, as we have it in our English Bibles, it's blessed. Your English translation might say flourishing or happy. There's lots of different ways to translate that rich, beautiful word makarios. So there's this ascription of blessedness, and then secondly, the condition in life or condition of the soul, whatever that might be. And then thirdly, there is this benefit or reward, or it's another way to look at it is God's response of faithful, redeeming love toward those who have these characteristics in their lives. So blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. What do we learn here? What do we have here? What can inspire us from this beatitude? Several assumptions are implicit here. First of all, that peace is a desirable thing. I think we would all agree on that. But we would also agree that peace doesn't always just happen. Sometimes peace has to be made. Thus, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. And I know that some people are peacemakers, but some people are peace breakers. And sometimes I'm both of those. And if you're honest with yourself, you have to look back on your own life, and you can probably see some times when perhaps you weren't contributing to peace, you were actually stirring up trouble. Maybe you're contrarian, or maybe you were angry or hurt in some way, and so your impulse was to strike back. And if we want to become peacemakers, though, how do we make peace? This is a great beatitude, but it does stir up those kinds of questions. And I think we have to look to Jesus again. Let Jesus show us what real peace is and what it looks like to live in the peace that's offered to those who are members of the kingdom of heaven when Jesus is our king, in other words. I love John Stott's quote. I've used this several times in my Bible teaching over the years, and you may have heard me quote this before, but even as I read it right now, it's going to sink just a little deeper and inspire me just a little bit more. Stott said, "I wonder if anything is more urgent today for the honor of Christ and for the spread of the gospel than what the church should be and should be seen to be, what by God's purpose and Christ's achievement it already is, a single new humanity, a model of human community, a family of reconciled brothers and sisters who love their Father and love each other, the evident dwelling place of God by His Spirit. Only then will the world believe in Christ as peacemaker. Only then will God receive the glory due His name. That's from John Stott. I'll put that in the show notes, and hopefully you'll have access to those on the platform that you're listening on or watching on. If not, just visit our website, thevillagechapel.com. Look under resources there, and you'll find your way at some point to the podcast itself and to the show notes that are available. But speaking of the Village Chapel, I have to say, as the guy who stands up there behind the pulpit so often over the last 23 years, I love looking out at our congregation and knowing that this is a church that is quite diverse in a lot of categories, and some of those categories are not really obvious categories. But because I know the people, I know the sheep of this flock, if you will, I know how diverse they are. And what I love is that I see a group of people who, in spite of their differences, have come to love one another in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. And I think this speaks volumes about the love of God and the peace that is offered to us in the salvation of God as members of the kingdom of God. It also has an evangelistic impact as well, because there are folk that visit who may or may not be believers. There are folk that watch that stream of cars pulling into that parking lot, going to that 100-year-old convent building that we meet in and that we gather in each and every week. And that's a testimony to the watching world that true peace can be found in Jesus and in the gospel of grace. The watching world is one of those phrases that describes the people who themselves may be believers in God, but perhaps not have come to believe the gospel of Jesus yet. And so they need to see it. It helps them to see it in motion. There's a scientist who is a believer. I think he's an astrophysicist. His name is Hugh Ross. Some of you may know his name. But I read in one of his books this little quote that I wanted to share with you this morning, because I knew I was talking about being peacemakers. He says, "The world is watching us. People are observing how we treat one another when we sharply disagree on matters of importance. If they see us vilifying one another and canceling each other, how will they respond when we call them to make peace with God? If by contrast they see our genuine love for one another, especially when we disagree, won't they be more likely to trust us to graciously, respectfully, and compassionately assist them in making their peace with God?" And I think Hugh Ross was onto something there. And I think this is never more evident. It stands out so boldly and brightly and beautifully. When the world around us is just drowning in the river of rancor, when the world around us is just crippled by hatred and acrimony, and here come a group of people that obviously diverse, obviously not the same, either socioeconomically or racially, or even in terms of religious background. Like a place like the Village Chapel, you got folk that have come from all kinds of different denominational backgrounds, all kinds of varieties of worldviews and belief systems, and here they all come together to worship Jesus. When Jesus is preeminent, see, He becomes that ultimate peacemaker that we really need. What does it look like to follow Jesus in the way of making peace or being a peacemaker? That's a great question, a practical one. I think one that deserves some kind of answer. I might suggest that making peace requires perhaps that we might ask questions instead of making accusations when we're talking with others, especially if we if there's been a rift between us and someone else and we're interested in reconciling or making peace with them. Don't come in with guns blazing, making accusations. No, begin to ask questions. And that involves, by the way, the sometimes arduous practice of listening. But we have two ears and one mouth. We should use them in those proportion to that. Listening, seeking to understand the other person or the other group, I think would be amazing. It would bring us a long way down the road toward peacemaking. We've got to resist the impulse of responding out of our presumptions or our prejudices. We've got to constantly repent from our pride. We've got to take the risk of love, especially when we feel misunderstood, when we don't like the response of the other person or the other group to our efforts toward making peace and working toward reconciliation. We cannot control the outcomes or the responses of others. All we can do is control what we say, what we do with the power of the Holy Spirit and by the grace of God as we work toward reconciliation and become peacemakers. And all of these things, peacemakers in the kingdom of heaven have to realize their complete and total dependence on the Holy Spirit at work in our midst. C.S. Lewis said it similarly in Mere Christianity, a book some of you have read. God cannot give us a happiness and peace apart from himself because it is not there. There is no such thing. I think he's right. If we are interested in peace with others in our relationships, if we are interested in peace between groups, whether that's, you know, denominations within the broader umbrella of the Christian faith, no matter what, we're going to need to depend on the work of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And of course, he means this to include all the men and women who have surrendered their lives to King Jesus and become members of the kingdom of heaven. And so we see once again the absolute necessity of our dependence upon Christ if we are to ever bear the family resemblance or the image of Christ and be called sons of God. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, some of you have read some of his books, has a book called The Cost of Discipleship in which he wrote this: "His, Christ's, disciples keep the peace by choosing to endure suffering themselves rather than inflict it on others. They maintain fellowship where others would break it off. They renounce hatred and wrong. In so doing, they overcome evil with good and establish the peace of God in the midst of a world of war and hate." So as I close out today's episode of Timeless Truth Podcast, I ask you this: is there someone you need to make peace with today? Why not do it today? Why not make a step? Be a peacemaker in this situation. Why not walk in the way of Jesus and take the initiative to bring peace to that relationship? It's often true that emails and texts can be helpful, but they can also be misinterpreted. Perhaps you need to make a coffee appointment. Perhaps you need to, if somebody's from another city or another state or around the world or whatever, maybe you need to make a phone call or a Zoom call or a FaceTime call. I'm a big believer in the personal touch when it comes to peacemaking. I think people can sense whether or not our earnest desire is to make peace with them when we take the time to meet with them in person or to call them and talk with them. I remember exhorting our congregation in person in the chapel one Sunday to be peacemakers and to take on the ministry of reconciliation. And one young man in the church, I heard about this later, took what I said quite seriously. He literally got in his car in the parking lot at church after the service here in Nashville, and he drove all the way up to the northeast part of the United States and reconciled with his father after years and years of relational tension and conflict. His grateful father called with tears in his shaky voice and left me a voicemail, and I called him back and chatted with him. And just together, we just wept and rejoiced over the good things that God had done between this father and his son. We gave God glory for the beautiful things that he can do, even in our broken relationship. So take courage in that and be inspired, perhaps, yourself if there's someone you need to make peace with. Let's pray. God, thank you for the reconciling work of Christ, the ultimate peacemaker, the great peacemaker in our relationship with you, God, and also so grateful for the Holy Spirit and the work that the Holy Spirit can do in our relationships with others, and even in experiencing the peace of God ourselves. Holy Spirit, come and do that in my life and in the lives of my friends who may be listening or watching today. Help us to walk in the way of Jesus, to become peacemakers, and thereby become sons and daughters of God. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to today's study. Take a moment to leave a review and share this episode with friends and family. You can stay connected by signing up for our newsletter or follow us on social media. At the Village Chapel, we believe God's Word is unique in its source, timeless in its truth, broad in its reach, and transforming in its power. For more resources or to support our ministry, visit our website, thevillagechapel.com.